Rise and Wellness, Grand Rise and Wellness. What's the chit chatter, earthly matter? Hope you're ready for some Omega Sun's data. This is the Grand Rise and Brief to you and yours. Just want to say what's up. Feel free to chat. We're up in the Sun Seas area, the Sun Seas dimension, you know what I'm saying? For my FB posse, and also in the Sunspot dimension for my YT YouTube posse. You know, and we live, you know. Reporting from New York, which is going to go through a heat wave. I know we're feeling it in several locations, if I can't be exact. And stay hydrated. We're getting bombarded by solar storms if you're into astronomy. We've had some unprecedented solar storms for the past couple of months. Getting closer to Earth at that, you know. Also, we've heard about reports of asteroids as big as the Empire State Building, and you know, the Sunspot just as big as an Earth and a half. You know, these are new processes that we're attaining because the study for science gets greater and greater as we get more sophisticated with the information and we learn more things from the objects that we use. And when I say we as a collective, you know, because it takes a great deal of minds to try to solve these problems and investigate these issues. That's the real, you know. So this all this phenomenon that we didn't pay attention to, you know, years back. Let me ask you this question. Could the fact that we do that keep us unfocused on the things we need to do for ourselves? And then, you know, is it also a contributing factor for people thinking that these things are out of control and, you know, out of their hands, that people start winding up going out of control? It's interesting. It's interesting because, you know, we have these gadgets and these devices and these, you know, these different nuances of futuristic material that we rely on it so much, our own faculties start to get compromised. I reported a while back ago on the Wealth Chambers Future Flow show about a bone that was actually growing in the back of the neck of a lot of people that are techies. It's like this little stubble bone. You know, it's an evolutionary process, of course, so it's starting off small, but if it's to continue, it's a bone that makes the neck go down, because as we scroll or look at these devices in a handheld, you know, chances are we're looking down in a long periods of time. And the body itself has become less dense as it used to be. You know, there's more broken bones in healthcare than ever before. We're more susceptible to a lot of radioactive waves, and you know, all these factors are attributing to the weakening of the species. Just think of it. And know how precious life is and where we're going when we, you know, start to maneuver into these next coming hundreds of years, and you know, the things that our great grandchildren are gonna experience is something that is far beyond our imagination. Just as we're experiencing things that are far beyond our great grandparents' imaginations. I mean, I'm from a generation that we were introduced to video games. We were introduced to these handheld devices. You know, the earliest depiction of the cell phone was this big brick phone that you would see like a doctor have, you know, back in the early 70s, late 60s. It was almost like the communications officer in the war, you know? And yeah, with our levels of understanding of technology and, you know, some very smart minds getting together and compacting all this material, and also, you know, the mining of the material to make these gadgets smaller has increased and become more refined, even though there's still slavery practices when it comes to mining for those materials to this day in the Congo and Rwanda. You know, there's still slave camps and, you know, dedicated villages that this is what they do all day, mine for this cobalt and other materials, manganese. So yeah, we gotta, you know, we take so much for granted. You know, it really, you know, could really be a daunting task trying to, you know, solve all those problems. You know what I'm saying? But we must continue to bring awareness in our own circles. And that's why, you know, media is so important. You know, and when I say media, I mean like minds. You want to build a community, of course, getting together to address and make people aware of these situations so things can happen and things can move. You know, from these meeting of the minds, a community, come movements. And movements are very important to get things done. You know, because now we got a force of momentum. And understanding between the meeting of the minds and also an economy. You build an in-house economy with your movement, so you're able to, the third level, mobilize. Organize, then mobilize. I mean, you can talk about that ad nauseum. You know? So, yeah. All that in consideration bunched up, this is the brief. This is the brief of what's going on up till now. So now we got a heat wave. Some people say the world has been heating up due to human interactions. You know, human interactions going unchecked. And if we don't slow up now, we can miss the mark of repairing a lot of this stuff. Instead of seeing a 2050 mark, we might see a 2035 mark. And that's a considerable short amount of time. A considerably short amount of time to try to correct some of the mayhem and the errors. You know, going on 8:55, almost 9 o'clock, and it's already like 82 degrees. 90 degrees. Come on now. And like I said, you want to get somewhere where there's plenty of water, stay hydrated, stay in the shade if you can. If you don't have to go outside, don't go out at all, you know, but make sure you have, you know, like, sunscreen is important for people to have sensitive skin. You know, just can't throw shea butter all types of time and, you know, think that's it. Make sure you're hydrated. Make sure you're in an air-conditioned environment. If not, throw on a fan. And, you know, be cognizant of how much electricity you use. That's definitely important. You want to have, if you can, a generator. Make sure you know where the fallout shelters are, right? This is where emergency services are so important. And, you know, looking out for your fellow human. Yeah, human, yeah. That's what that person next to you is supposed to be, a human. Look out for your fellow man, you know, especially the elderly and the children. Because, you know, children, they'll play so much and they'll not think about, you know, them drinking enough water and getting enough shade. And definitely a heat stroke could be something that comes in a second, you know. Also, for the elderly, just the contact of the sun with the skin can cause some trouble, can cause some distress, you know. And it's more about the humidity, how thick the air is around that person, you know. It compromises the breathing. So, and with the dust in the air, especially around places where there's a lot of construction going on. Got to keep that, you know, keep mind of that. Keep focused. Okay. Got that out of the way. You know, you want to make sure that those key precautions are set in place. I want to see, you know, if anybody's in the chat, comments and stuff like that. Feel free. This is a free moment right here, allowing people to connect around this area of conversation. You know what I'm saying? Like I said, in the city, this is what we're doing. This is for my alternate side parking people in the building. You know, it's key time. Key time. We're in the middle of a heat wave. Do you think that, you know, this is like a weather emergency because of the, you know, extent of heat and the rising gas prices that we should even have alternate side parking? Well, what's your views on that? If you can connect with me on that. You know, I think that, you know, we can like when it's a heat wave like this, take a day or two off of the alternate side parking. You know, because as you do this, you're idling, you want to get some air conditioning through your car, you're burning gas, and that could be a problem in itself. You know, for those that have their windows open and the sunroof open, the moonroof open, you know, there's still hot air coming in. So, you know, you wanted to get winded off of that. You wanted to get, because you can't leave the car. You can't leave the car until the alternate side parking time is up. So it's a lot of factors going into that that is very detrimental to the environment itself and to your personal pocket. Yeah, into your person in your wallet. You know, this gas is not cheap. And depending on what type of vehicle you have, you know, it can cost a pretty penny. We've been paying for the last couple of weeks upwards to $70 to $125 even to fill up tanks. You know, and that's big. That's big, especially at a time when you have to budget a certain way because things are shooting up more than it's balancing out or leveling down. And of course, the last thing to move is your paycheck. The last thing to move is your paycheck, yours and mine. The last thing to lift up is the salaries, you know. And I was talking to a colleague of mine today, and, you know, if you want to stay in New York City, you got to have at least two incomes, maybe even three. You know, make sure your significant other and, you know, is aligned with a good position as well. And that's interesting because that also brings a different value system to the relationships we have. You know, can we handle the stress between this? You know, between salaries, between working extra hours, dealing with the children in effect. Can you really afford, you know, going on that extra trip? You know what I'm saying? And when you do, you know, what's the benefit of it? You know, it's like it has to have some type of benefit at the end of the day. I mean, it's more than peace of mind. You can really find peace of mind if you take away the distractions and, you know, get into some self-involving things like meditation and yoga and Tai Chi, breathing exercises even, you know, even certain hobbies. You know, and then you can amass a good amount of money to take that big trip. You know, depending on, that's how I've been. And maybe it doesn't work because I haven't taken a real big trip in a long time. You know, and that's coming. But more importantly, you want to basically get your foundation set so you're able to have the freedom to move with expendable income. But at the same time, creating a legacy and making sure that your loved ones have activities available and that can, you know, make their experience here much more lively. Those are taken into consideration. So, like I'm saying, when you got places that involve with higher rent, high expenses, healthcare system with high bills and medical issues. And the crime is seeping out too. So you're not getting the bang for your buck like you used to. You really have to take those things into consideration. It falls into the relationships you have, and also the they be banging out here, and also the meat of what we do as pastimes, because we don't congregate the way we used to anymore. There's still trepidation around, you know, the thing going around. You know what I'm saying? Also, the people acting weird and strange. There are people that actually are more violent or prone to aggressive, you know, aggressiveness because they've been shut in for so long. It's really a tough task to get around. It's really difficult, you know, for those that are not used to it. You know what I'm saying? Listen, I come from a place where it was rough already from day one, right? And these are not standards of living to, you know, navigate through all these different personalities that are aggressive in nature. You shouldn't want to have to go through that. You know what I'm saying? It turns you into something. It turns you into something. And, you know, it takes it longer to really realize what your potential is. And realize, you know, your foundation of your purpose. If you're not able to connect, you know, to your consciousness right away. Because the first thing on your mind is survival. You know what I'm saying? And you can't think about some otherworldly stuff if, you know, you really trying to focus to eat, feed your family that day. You know, so these things taken in consideration and put into thought, you know, it can sharpen the being or it can shape the, it can actually break the being. You know, the mind is fragile. Always remember that. So it's in any condition. And the subconscious mind is 30,000 times more sensitive than the conscious mind. You know, we could take a message and, you know, kind of know what to do with it, flip it or ignore it all the way, but the subconscious already picks it up. It picked it up before you actually seen it. There's this book I read a while ago, Walter Germain. It's called The Magic Power of the Mind, and he talks about a case of a guy named Edgar Cayce. Now, you could take it or leave it alone as, a strange phenomenon. This is something that's not going to be, it's not something you're going to read every day. You know, so it's a strange phenomenon. He was able to, since he was young, if he wanted to memorize something, he could put a book under his pillow and actually, you know, see the images of the book to the point where he knew the contents of the book. You know, and he did that for his school and registered well when he did that. So extracting from that phenomenon, he was able to, and this is just around the story that was given in the book, Magic Power of the Mind by Walter Germain. This case guy, Edgar Cayce from Virginia, he was able to not just do that, but have what they call clairvoyance, which is basically picking up other dimension, you know, through faculty, you know, higher senses, you know, into psychometry, where if somebody touched something, an object, he was able to basically know who touched it, you know, their name and draw up the image and the description of the person just by going there and feeling the object. That type of connection is very interesting. Salute and wellness, season of the witch. I'm just vibing out. Love and light always. And thank you for coming through. We're talking about the sensitivity of dimensions right now. Because it all takes, you know, all comes into consideration on this ball of of water that we're on right now, and our relationships as well. You might have a relationship, right, where somebody feels that they have sensitive connecting powers. You know, whether it be into the crystals, whether it be into telepathy, whether it could be into paranormal experiences. And then you might have somebody in the same relationship that is totally separate and divorced from that. You know, they could be downright atheists. Like, they ain't trying to build no type of supernatural expressions. And what kind of relationship do you have with that? You know, is it a balancing factor? You know, could they process the things that are going on today and use that information to build better, or build abroad, right? Or bring the two worlds together? Like, I'm a big Marvel fan, you know, and it's a lot of the mythology and the folklore. Actually, if you drain it down and strain it, you can actually see it in our day-to-day stuff, right? So what I'm talking about is a supernatural phenomenon and science, which was always like split between the middle, you know, of belief. So with the Marvel, you have the case of the Fantastic Four, Sue Simmons and Reed Richards, that, you know, he actually married. She became Sue Richards, the Invisible Woman, and Stretch. Stretch is on the side of science, right? Sue Simmons is on the side of that sensitivity, that next dimension, because her powers, after they got their cosmic powers, was to actually be invisible and also go through objects. Interesting. Let me see what this comment says. That's almost impossible for me. My spirituality comes first. All right, here we go. And I walk my spirituality daily. You walk with your spirit. I definitely get that, because I feel the same way. But let me pose this to you with the same concept we're dealing with. Is spirit physical? Here's where the rubber meets the road between science and that force, that dimensional force, that dimensional sensitivity. Oh yeah, because it is a dimension. Let's describe dimension. You know, it's a balance of forces coming together to formulate energy. You know what I'm saying? Can you hear me? All right. It's a balance of forces coming together to formulate energy in a specific field. It's like a meeting of all these different particular dynamics to make this concept, to make this plane. Science will consider the unified field, the quantum unified field. And from that basis, develop that there is the, the double slit experiment, where if you don't look at the wave particular, it travels one way. But when the observer looks at it, it moves differently. Consider that with that, what is a dimension? Okay, now we're talking about spirit. Spirit is from the Greek and Latin, esperare, breath. But you can breathe in your hand and feel, which is a dynamic, right? You can breathe in your hand and feel the forces of a dimension inside of yourself. You can breathe in your hand and make it hot or heated. You can breathe in your hand and make it cool. You can breathe in your hand and make it wet. You can breathe in your hand and make it dry. These are the forces and the conditions developed from the spirit, which is the breath. So I ask again, in this spirituality, is your spirit physical? Now, is that science or sensitivity to dimensional phenomenon or supernatural. There's a case with supernatural. It's metaphysics, right? But there's a case with supernatural or supernature. It's to be extra, more than nature. So if there's a supernature, is there a subnature? As above, so below. Then we get into the concepts of heaven and hell, devil and angel. What else we can go with that? Fairies and ogres, all these things, witches, warlocks, you know. Again, we're dealing with terms described in this language, English, well, broken English, which compromises a whole bunch of stuff. We're like this language is the jambalaya of a whole bunch of different cultures. You know what I mean? And when we use certain words, what we're trying to do is the best we can to describe our phenomenon, our labeling, our status, our existence, all that. With these poor, it's like surface level words, because it's so much deeper when you start to define it for yourself. See, I hear people talking out there. This the teaching. I ain't gonna go there. I don't have my sound effects. I'm rolling. Like I said, this is that grand rising brief, so you can understand what we're rising to and what we can rise from. And certain things you got to separate yourself from in order to get into that like being existence. You know, and I'm not mastery level yet. You know what I'm saying? I'm on the road. You know, and as long as you don't give up, you're on the road as well. All of our different situations and different circumstances are sharpening us to get to where we should be trying to go. Now, whether you're cognizant of that or not, that all depends on your sensitivity to the conscious world. Okay, so back to spirituality and how it affects the nature of a person when they understand what it is. Spirituality is not affixed to a particular religion or a particular deity. It is the force in which that the entity chooses to put their patterns of life and force of energy into to express themselves. I would say the full expression of the all is based upon what we consider spirituality. And what's motivated by a great set of value systems, disciplines, communication, and expression, you can form that entity or that being or that pattern of experiences that can benefit your community. Oh, once you benefit the community, you can apply to the movement. Once the movement starts moving and gets organized, it can mobilize and expand. Boom. Point in case. I do work. So I just came from work. And what they have is a vision to build a whole new complex on the other side of our campus, which will facilitate new amenities to our clients and as well as expand the resources to our clients. I'm like, okay. And they're talking with the framework, how it's going to start, what our plan is, how much money is going into it, the square footage, what is going to be included within that plan, how we are to navigate while this is going up within the next 3 to 5 years. And they're giving it with enthusiasm and strategy. And, you know, we want inclusion. What's your question? And do you have any advice for us? And I'm taking it in. I'm asking questions. And being relevant to the conversation, because it's good to be present while the blueprint, that's right. But if more importantly, they wanted the inclusion of the workers in the small forum so they can evaluate whether a new scale can be done? What else can be taken into consideration? Whether it would be an impediment for the operations that's going on now? All of this. So what does that have to do with spirituality? Nothing. As we build our spirituality, we take in all of these type of nuances as well. Especially when you dealing with new information, it would be wise for you to take the greater part of the new information to forge you to be a better person, if there's something there. Especially truth. And truth is neutral. Add that to your spirituality, got a new formidable force for everybody else to reckon with. It's going to make your foundation that much stronger. It's going to lift you that much higher. And that's not to look down on anybody else. The purpose of a spiritualist is to achieve an atmosphere of reaching out and bringing in. Whoo, come on now. The purpose of a spiritualist, the essence of it, is to make an environment where they can reach out to bring in. So what you take upon is the golden rule. Treat others as I treat myself, spiritualist. Not doing to others as you would have others doing to you, but treat others as how they would want to be treated. Which is very, very, very interesting when it comes down to it. Because then it's the selfless nature. You know how much power you have to be enlightened? Just think about how much power you have to love. And if you ever look at the book Power Versus Force, I mentioned that in many moons ago on a live. It was written by David Hawkins, a doctor that studied kinesiology. And had these control groups. Love in the map of consciousness. Google that on the side if you can. Map of consciousness, I think love was about 540. Enlightenment was up above 700, going into 1,000. Why? Love is a pathway, but it still has a tie to its opposite. The opposite of love is not hate. It's indifference. See, once you don't pay attention, once you don't give effort and input into that which chooses to get your attention, that's an absence of love. It's not even a presence of hate. It's just that you don't exist. And that's really the problem for people that want and strive and need that substance of I'm here. And that person or that being says, no, you're not. Your actions don't affect me. We're up here with it. Or we're down here with it. The motive in this planet, plane of existence, planet, is to be recognized for your expression, even down to your intimate circle. We all would like to have our personal message on a broader scale, and hence YouTube. Great invention, misused by many. But it also has helped many as well. Not just monetarily. See, just a connection to the other side of the world, which was the initial objective, played a part in making this world a united community. A young girl in Pakistan can talk about her experience and her day-to-day lifestyle, the good and the bad, and connect with a young lady in Moscow that would also connect to a young lady in Ghana. And now they're all sharing the same voices. Now they all see that as much as we have different from each other, we have plenty more in common. And our social media experiences are supposed to be locked into that, and it still is. Don't get it twisted. We just find ourselves on certain corners because we play neighborhood. Our minds are built on neighborhood type stuff, you know. They're not thinking world yet. Just thinking right here. These couple of corners, you know, the one with the store on it, you know, we think about the Walmart, the Texaco, you know, where we find the same personalities from our present experience, but have an advance where we can connect to that conscious collective. And it's a few of us, but there's many of us at the same time. I think me and Season of the Witch, we on that level right there, you know. She gets me, hopefully. You know what I'm saying? And I vibe with the queen when she's in the chat. You know what I'm saying? And it's kind of frustrating that, you know, some of our brightest can't really fully blossom. You know, I won't say can't. That's dismissive. We don't choose to fully blossom because of the poisonous ones around us. That now there's a group of people out there that may miss out on an important message from somebody that's tapped in. And the anonymity of it, the anonymity of you know, a lot of people that can provide some good information, you know, it's tacky. It throws everybody off. Mind you, this is alternate side parking flow from True Omega Sun. Feel free to clap back and all that with some feedback in the chat as we go through this. You know what I'm saying? This is the grand rising brief. And I mean it to be brief, but when I start speaking and I feel the flow, I don't separate myself from it. We're still rocking. Okay, so back to spirituality actually being a physical thing. It's tied to us through physics, right? But also, you have to be able to have physical health. Oh, wow. Popping bottles over here. Thank you, New York City. Don't be goofy. Oh, yeah, and if you don't fight for your spot, you have to fight somebody for your spot. That's for sure. So shout out to all the motorists out there doing their dang thing. Oh, man, okay. Back into the physicality. Physicality of spirituality and spiritual health. Continually finding things to lift your energy up so you can get into a state of contentment, which is higher than happiness, when happiness is higher than love. Oh, yeah, yes. Be safe, child. With the I am the child. Yeah, I'm on it. One thing I am, I stay focused. I stay aware. Let me rant a little bit. I cannot stand people just looking at their phones walking through the street. It's bad enough. I see it on the road, and I'm yelling at them. I turn my music down, turn that MOP down. Like, yo, I listen to MOP and stop. Listen, yo, get your head up out that phone. And you may not hear me because your windows is up, and we going, you know, considerable amount of speed. I'm like, come on now. But walking across the street, walking in the middle of the street, and you got your head in your damn, you know, iFed phone 3, and, I mean, iFed phone 13 and 22s and all this stuff. You got your head on. How can you see anything going on? How? You know, somebody swerved around. How can you see that? How can you see the? How can you see dog crap with the slides on? And then you're not talking to the person next to you. You're looking at the phone. You know, y'all could stop somewhere and look at the phone. And I don't mean in the middle of the street. Why? Listen, okay. I need my energy up so I can get to my spiritualities. Yeah, okay. The connection of science and spiritual is through the providing of spiritual health through our energy and releasing our energy sources. Some people like to go to the Indian, Indus Kush, Eastern development and discipline of chakras and Kundalini travel. You have to be able to fast, first of all. And I don't mean a vegan burger fast. You really have to be able to detox and fast to get into those upper levels of true chakra mastery and Kundalini rising, all right? And a lot of salt has been thrown into that system watching as well. And I mean, like, because it's considered new age, and you know, people know they can get a dollar off of new age stuff, even though it's old science. I mean, it's old discipline. It's still considered a new age, so people can get a check off of it. And then you have people that will tell you things that are totally out of whack, totally, you know, total bupkis. I'm being nice here. Yeah, you know, you can't divorce a person from their personal experience. That's their expression. I don't knock that. But you're not going to piss down my back and tell me it's raining. That's the bottom line. Find out for yourself. Get into that state of mind where you can start to glean what the information says, what somebody tells you, and what you develop from yourself. Because it's knowledge itself. Another discipline, you know, I've basically practiced this for a long time, was Qigong, Taoism. You know, going into the study of Tai Chi, which is the flow, which the Tai Chi Chuan. Going to Tao Te Ching is the book of the I Ching, the 64 hexagrams of life and living by Lao Tzu. Oh yeah, this gets utterly into it. But when you see the studies in that, you can see also African studies as well. And when I say African, I'm just using the contemporary label. You know, this is still, you know, it's motherland talk. This is motherland talk. You can see it in the Ifa. You can see it there. You know, you can see it in the old versions of the Umi. You know, the Igbo have a system like that, where it's the activation of energy centers and symbology, and your movement amongst nature, and the reverence of the elements of nature, also being in the body of man. It's in Kemet, you see it, in Kemet. All these processes going on at one time, because that's the language what it, in the Bible, it says the one tongue. You know, saying everybody spoke that one language, and you know, it was sought to divide the languages after the Tower of Babel and all that, you know, confuse. If you ever question that? Ever question that? Why God wanted to confuse the people? All right, chill. That's a little too much. Maybe I'm saying it wrong, all right? But, you know, look in the book a little closer and tell me, right? Tell yourself. Anyway, you know, because power likes to separate itself from the same plane of existence when that, when power is corrupted. Power likes to separate itself from the level of the common. And the quickest and most effective way to do that is to actually build an edifice or a temple or a structure that elevates you physically from the issue. This is how you had the king in the castle and the commoners in the lowlands. How you had what we consider an accepted perfect speech amongst the royals and the regals, and the field speech of the commoners in the court of the king. Yeah, this is where cussing and cursing and carrying on. This is in the field. But once the field got information and knowledge, they used what was in the court itself to their advantage, to level the playing field of education. Because one thing's for sure, you may try to hoard knowledge, but knowledge is infinite. That is like taking your hand, cupping it, and swooping up some water in your cupped hand and thinking you have the ocean in your hand. You definitely don't. That's where we are today. That type of thinking affects relationships, your relationship models, and who you build with. If you're not sensitive enough to the environment you're in and to the people you're with, where you're sharing cosmic energy, you know, sex, sacred energy exchange, hello? You're not sharing that type of information. You're distant, even though you're in the same place. You don't have a foundation of, you know, critical information that may propel you to that upper level of elevation so you can reach out to somebody and pull them in. You exist in a field state of mind. What was particular about the field? They're amongst animal species. You're working hard, hard back-breaking labor and extensive hours. You're talking about can't see day to can't see night. Open and vulnerable to vicious inclements of weather, from extreme heat to extreme cold, to extreme rain, to extreme bouts of dryness. Of course you're going to curse when all this is going on. Maybe you have faulty equipment. Maybe the co-workers around you haven't coalesced an organizing plan to get out the field, form their own castle and fort. This is where we are right now. For the people in the sound of my voice, this is, station identification, Grand Rising Brief, 2 Omega Sun 88, Omega Sun's light being. You see all the stuff on the bottom of the joint you got right there, you know what I'm saying? All the connecting informationness. I got Season and the Witch holding me down in the chat. That's on the YouTube. My Sun Seeds family on FB. And we rolling on the alternate side parking. Fly Friday. Be fly. Don't let nothing hold you down. Let something hold you down. Can't be fly. All right, I've been giving off a lot right now. I'm going to start to end it off, trail it off a little bit. I just want to end it like this, right? I posed a question a while ago. I think a couple of people caught on to it. We say that entity, that deity, God, Allah, Buddha, everything else is the Most High. Why don't we ever say the Most Within? We always say the Most High. Why don't we say the Most Within? Now, we can say the most high as far as the higher consciousness, the higher energy plane, you know, the higher self, lower self. But just saying high seems like an existential event. Like it has to be away from our embodiment. Like it's something that we're not able to aspire to unless we're outside of our physical selves. Why not within? Because all the forces are within. It even says in the book, the kingdom is in you. My gift always say, I say, grand rise to the prize that is the present. And the gift is in you. The gift to unwrap and unravel is in you. That's coming next. That's coming next. I thank you. Wish you great prosperity and peace ain't the word to play. Peace ain't the word to play with. Peace ain't the word to play with. So I'm gonna give you prosperity and wellness and power on your path. Walk good. Do good. Be well. Thank you, Season of the Witch, for popping through. Thank you, Sun Seeds out there. I see, you know, I'm about to go on Twitch soon. Out there. I don't play.